Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if the story of Jesus wasn't just about faith, but also about strategy, politics, and power? In today's episode, author Barry Lenardini challenges everything you think you know about Jesus and the early church. Was Jesus exactly as portrayed in the Bible, or was his image shaped by those who followed? How did Peter go from humble fisherman to Rome's first pope? And what role did emperors like Nero play in turning a message of charity into a global institution? Barry's bold satirical novel, Jesus and Peter, A Different View of Christ and the Catholic Church, reimagines the birth of Christianity as a mix of belief, ambition, and human vulnerability, where faith meets marketing and devotion meets empire. If you've ever wondered about how a humble preacher became the center of one of the world's most powerful movements, this conversation will challenge, entertain, and make you think. Barry Lenardini, a former floor trader on the Pacific Stock Exchange and a longtime media guest, brings sharp wit, historical imagination, and fearless commentary to one of history's most powerful stories, and he joins us on This Week in America. Barry, welcome to the program. Indeed, a pleasure to have you with us today.
So happy I'm here. Really good to talk to you.
Really looking forward.
Quite sharp.
Well, I really look forward to this conversation. So much to talk about. We'll give you information on the book, where it's available, as we go through the conversation today. To start with, what first compelled you to write Jesus and Peter, A Different View of Christ and His Catholic Church? And what questions were you trying to answer for yourself?
Well, there's a lot of them. But the one phrase that I just couldn't get goodbye was Jesus taught charity is a right. Charity is a right. That's an oxymoron. That's a contradiction in terms. You can't have charity as a right. It throws in the bucket all that charity is supposed to mean. That started it. And then once you start going with that wedge into the line you're running, it's like a football game, and you get in the backfield, then you can see who's pulling the levers. And one question leads to another. And it's like Heisenberg with the uncertainty principle. It's all about what question you ask, how you arrive at the answer. If you don't ask the question correctly, you won't get the answer.
You've done an excellent job in bringing this point home in the book. The book is Jesus and Peter, A Different View of Christ and His Catholic Church. Barry Lenardini is our guest on the program. His website is freshcleanday.blogspot.com. You probably not going to remember that. If you go to our website, it's right there. You can click it on. You can Google it, get it on, get it there as well. Book available, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You approach Jesus not just as a divine figure, but as someone human, vulnerable, strategic, deeply charismatic. Why was it important for you to frame Jesus this way?
Well, you have to remember it's all about context. You know, you the one thing missing in today's media is they leave the context out of the story that they're trying to get you to go. It was 2000 years ago. We didn't have podcasts, we didn't have megaphones. We had people who talked to people face to face. And that's how you contacted people. It was body language, words. You didn't say a word, but people learned to believe in what you said or don't believe in what you said because of the words you use, your body English. So when you start talking that, he's naive in the sense that he's starting off something that nobody talks about, that charity is a right. And that's, to me, says that he's like a country boy. It's not a right. I mean, you might get a story from your parents about that, but charity is all about, it comes from the heart. It comes from your well-meaning to your fellow human. So the naivete is when he starts talking about things that don't make sense. But he's talking to people who don't know what the right and wrong is, because they, you know, they could raise sheep, or they could raise crops, and they never studied and been educated by the Jesuits or a Greek philosopher, which I have. And that's how you make your way in life, remembering what works and what doesn't work. But it's important that your parents are the source of your start. And if they're not educated, you're going to have a tough time until you find somebody who is educated. And then you go from there.
The book suggests that the title of the book is Jesus and Peter. It suggests that Peter played a much larger role in shaping Christianity than many people realize. What led you to reexamine Peter's influence so closely? Because you really go up close and personal and really bring a lot out about Peter that many of us didn't know.
Well, Peter almost immediately reminded me of Mel Brooks being the director of the producers.
Oh, yes.
So Peter was, you know, he was a Semite, a Jewish guy, and they do that naturally anyway. It's fine. I mean, they've done a lot of great things in the motion picture world. But that's where it all came from. And you have to have the gift of gab, so to speak. And you're talking to people who don't understand you. Now he's giving Jesus a tutorial. You're going to talk to people. This is Peter talking. This is my thoughts and how he would have talked to Jesus. Now, you've got the looks. I've seen you talk to people. They like you. I could tell by the way they stand around you and the crowds get bigger and bigger. So I know you can do it, but you're going to have to learn how to do it. You're going to have to be suave. It's a word you probably never heard of. But you got to know how to handle yourself in situations where they ask you a question, you don't have the answer. You're not going to just stand there quietly and not answer. You owe it to the person who's asking you the question what the answer is. And if you don't know the answer, you have to do a segue, a sidestep, and change the subject carefully. It'll take you some time, but the payoff will be good, because you've got stuff, you've got a mannerism that will almost make anybody believe in anything you say, but it doesn't come naturally. You have to work carefully at it, and you can't be caught acting. Well, it reminds me of Spencer Tracy, one of his quotes, "Don't let them catch you acting." It's got to be natural. So that's what Peter basically told Jesus, how to behave and how to get out of tough spots. And it goes on from that. Interestingly, Peter was the first and only Jew who became the Pope in Rome. Everybody else that followed Peter were the people of the elite Roman families. That was the way they got to be Pope, because Peter was he was hung upside down on a on a cross. And I believe it was Nero that did that, or Diocletian. I'm not quite sure on that. I've forgotten. But it's all when the Roman families, the elite Roman families took over, that's the end of anything smacking of religious. It all becomes hard-knuckle politics.
Rome, in particular, the Emperor Nero, plays a fascinating role in your narrative. What do you think most readers misunderstand about the relationship, early Christianity, and the Roman power?
He's trying to co-op it. He's got control of the physical world, Rome. All roads lead to Rome. It shows you the scope of his influence. Yes. But he's talking to people who are naive. They're coming from the sticks, so to speak, from the country, all parts of the globe that circulate the circle, the Mediterranean Sea. So he has to talk in their language because he wants their vote. He wants their help in keeping people who don't know the game or don't want, not interested in the game of politics, but he doesn't want them upsetting his delicate balance of controlling the people that come from different parts of the Roman Empire. All roads lead to Rome. That's good and that's bad. That's what actually made, I don't think Jesus would have gotten anywhere if it wasn't for the highway system that the Rome did.
Oh yes, interesting.
No question about it. It's all about that. And then the idea that Nero cozies up to him, finds out how the game is, so to speak. You know, what do you talk about? How do you handle these things? Because he was a savvy guy. These Roman emperors, don't fool yourself. These people knew how to handle things. I mean, they went from nothing to a 1,000-year Reich as far as Hitler was concerned. The Republic started in 700 BC. It was a republic. It was not a democracy, it was not an empire at that time. It was a republic, like we started out, and we lost that federalism back in the early 19th century.
This is a fascinating.
Go ahead.
What a fascinating story. And as you're listening to Barry, you're going to want to get a copy of the book and really understand what Barry, the point he's trying to get across. And we'll talk about the impact he hopes this has on readers as we go through our conversation today. Barry Leonardini, that's Leonardini. The book is Jesus and Peter, A Different View of Christ and His Catholic Church, book available wherever books are sold. You can follow Barry online at freshcleanday.blogspot.com. One of the most provocative ideas in the book is how personal charity evolved into a kind of state-sponsored system. Why do you think that shift was so crucial to Christianity's survival and eventual expansion?
Well, this brings up the point of how can Jesus and Muhammad, they were separated by 600 years, how did they end up being in one place, Jerusalem?
Yes.
What made it convenient for two Semites? One was a fisherman, and I don't know what Muhammad, if he ever had a, Jesus was the fisherman, and I don't know what job or profession Muhammad did, but both of them came up with a new system of, and they coined it together, although Jesus was the one that instituted and Muhammad just heard, he knows when he hears a good story and he just wanted a part of it. And he came up, Jesus came up with charity as a right. And what Jesus and Muhammad did was change the flow of money and allegiance of the people in the Roman Empire, giving money to the pagans, the polytheistic group of people that were on the kind of like the Greek Olympus, but they were, I guess the Pantheon would be a good everybody pretty much understands what that magnificent building is. It still stands. Nobody ever messed with it. But with Jesus and Muhammad changing the flow of money and making people who they were trying to conscript to be part of followers of Jesus, it made a slam dunk. There's no way the people are going to rather give their money to the polytheism of the Roman Empire when they can just pocket the money and turn it around and say the people in government now have to take care of us. And if you don't do it, things can happen to you that you won't like. Well, first of all, things did happen. but they got the Christians first because they knew that was a that would be a spear right through the heart of Jesus's movement. And they well, they, one of many things they did to him, you know, the story of putting the Christians in the Colosseum were many and told far and wide. So it was an easy thing, but somebody had to take a chance. There was a lot of thousands of people that died. They took a chance. But in the end, Jesus' story of charity is a right made it everything easy. And it made, what made you know that it was easy is Constantine changed history. He took everything out of context that Muhammad and Jesus were taught and how they got on their feet and changed it. But it, you know, it's there are people that do and people that watch. Jesus and Peter, with Peter being more of a go-getter, a conniver would be a better word. Interesting also, Jesus had a, he didn't look like a Semite, you know, the dark skin and the what have you. The story is he's half white from the an Italian legion soldier, and his mother, Mary, was Jewish, but he came out favoring the white, probably better, more potent genes. And so he passed for white, so to speak. All these little things had to fall in line, fall in place.
Yes.
But it all worked. You know, it's like a perfect storm. Well, this was a perfect epiphany of somebody that nobody knew a week ago. All of a sudden is leading the way. But that's life.
Well, you know, yeah, that's the way it works in some cases, and certainly, as you point out, worked in this case. You ask so many questions in your book, Jesus and Peter, A Different View of Christ and His Catholic Church. One of those, you ask whether Jesus' success was tied to credibility, approachability, rather than miracles
Absolutely.
Alone. How does that idea resonate with modern readers, do you think?
They don't have anything today. Nobody smiles in government. The only people they smile at is when the lobbyist phones them up and say, listen, we got something we want you to do.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we need. So that's the way it's done today. But nobody smiles. There's nobody that tells jokes. I mean, Reagan was one of the first that actually, of course, he had a background in as a professional actor.
Yes.
So he was schooled by the best. But nobody could do it as well as Reagan because nobody was like Reagan. Reagan was sincere. He did all his speeches personally. He wasn't reading them like Biden and George W. Bush was a moron from the get-go. But it's pretty simple stuff, but you've got to keep an open mind and believe your eyes. Believe your ears. Don't believe the vendors on television or what they push down your throat at the motion picture theater. If it's really good, you'll believe it. And if it's not, people stop going to motion pictures and they start doing sequels on unbelievable animated basis. So
yes. Sometimes 5, 6, 7 sequels in a row that they will crank out, which, yeah, many people believe is a lack of creativity, originality on
exactly.
their part. But you see so many
exactly.
of those that are follow up. Your book challenges long held religious narratives. What kind of reaction were you hoping for? Looking for agreement, discomfort, debate, something else entirely. What were you expecting and what are you getting from people reading Jesus and Peter?
What I wanted was relief. I'm tired of thinking about something and not doing anything about it. So that motivated me. And what was the second part of your question?
Well, what did you expect? What do you expect? What are you getting?
I don't, frankly, I'd never thought about it. I just want relief. That is payment. You know, nothing like a starving artist. Well, I'm not an artist of any caliber, but they're starving. They're always sitting on the shell, on the front steps of it's like the philosopher. They're always sitting on the steps of a wealthy person. So that's who I am. I just want to vent my thoughts, and I have fun doing it.
Well, you present them.
That's another thing. Doing things for fun is kind of strange for people who live in this overflow of fake fiat money that they got floating around the world, paying people exorbitant wages for doing what? Well, most of the things, they're not satisfied with the money they're getting, so they start doing things, parlaying their positions in power. I mean, like the Clintons and Biden, and we've got plenty. I vote Republican most of the time, but only because he's hands down better than the next. But politics, I'm a states' rights politically vent, and the Civil War, when our president takes on half the country, kills the civil rights, the states' rights philosophy of the Federalists, and that's where our problem was when we did that Civil War in America and an outsized power grab by the federal government, central government. That's ridiculous. Central governments, that's a license to steal, just putting it mildly. And they keep on challenging the people who vote, you know, we're doing this in your best interest. Well, that's a lie. You know, I could say a lot of other words, but
A lie covers it pretty well. That sort of takes that in. As you're talking, as you're talking with that passion there, I almost see like this could be another book that you'd like to work on and present your views to the public. Is that something? Are you working on something else now? Another book?
Well, I've got another book that it's called My Lunch with a.
Oh yes.
Hollywood agent, and where I pulled Hollywood's feet to the fire, and I claim that not claim is not the right word, but I suspect and do a preliminary work on my feeling that the COVID-19 was really about Hollywood's instigation to develop a genome, the human genome, and as to the plan as far as the Hollywood moguls, the homosexual moguls, was about royalties, selling those patents, and it's loaded with dialogue. You know, because I've lived through in San Francisco with the background in San Francisco, the Summer of Love and all that baloney. But it was interesting times. The music was good. Characters.
Oh, yes.
Not just the people that, you know, like, you name it. I like the Rolling Stones, you know, that's the original music, the Beatles, original music. I mean, some of these people are really talented people. But it's loaded with eyewitness, personal involvement. But I get into this lunch that we had at Aliotto's. This is coming from the book. It's not, I never had the lunch, but I could have had the lunch. But what I'm trying to do, let me put it simply, I'm trying to entertain people. If I'm not entertaining people, people will not buy the book. Even if they are entertained and don't buy the book. I don't care. As long as I feel that I've emptied myself of a chuckle, you know what I'm saying? That's all I care about.
Well, and that other book that Barry is talking about, My Lunch with a Hollywood Agent, that book's available, again, wherever books are sold, and Barry's website, you'll find him online at freshcleanday.blogspot.com. That link is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Time is going by so quickly, a couple minutes left in the program. I want to talk about maybe this becoming a motion picture, the book that we're talking about, Jesus and Peter.
What about the screenplay? Did you know I did a screenplay?
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What are the chances that we'll see this on the screen? There's a remarkable story there to tell, full of characters.
Anthony Giulianti was an award-winning screenwriter, wrote the screenplay, adapted my book, and he was laughing all the way through it. He thought it was funny. And that's who I want. I want people with a sense of humor. Just jump in. Never mind what you heard from people, you know, a day and a half ago. The reason why I wrote the book is because nobody was writing the book. That's all I care about. Entertaining some people. And now it's getting more traction years later, because like the truth, it never goes away. My funny book, although not as saleable as I'd like it to be, didn't go away. The laughs are still there. You know, so jump in. Also, Rick, I do on a daily basis a blog, which is Barry's New Conversations. I've been doing it since 2005. And I absolutely cover whatever. I wake up in the morning and something hits me.
Yes.
I run to the thing and type it in. You know, it's a way of, so you're not talking, a lot of people I can't talk to. I like them, but I can't talk to them because we don't have a common thread of, they're not understanding what my background is, not that I'm pompous on it, but they haven't had the experience, that's a bad word also. So it's with your background in education, big thing, education. And we get these people that all they want to do is do the bidding of the homosexuals in Hollywood, teaching young children about transgender. What's that all about? I don't even want to get into it. But you've got billions of dollars being spent there by the federal government subsidizing the states if they want it. So it just goes on. And basically, when we lost states' rights, we lost our will to improve ourselves. We just wanted to get along. But anyway, the
blog that you do?
Yeah, the blog, Barry's New Conversations. Also, I'm on Twitter, and I'm also on Facebook. Those are current. Those conversations I have with anybody who's listening.
And you can follow by going to Googling Barry Leonardini. That's Leonardina.
Exactly.
That's, if you go there, you'll find all of this stuff. Most of it is listed on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Is Blogspot that I mentioned before, freshcleanday.blogspot.com. The book is Jesus and Peter, A Different View of Christ and His Catholic Church. Book is available wherever books are sold. Of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Barry, it's been a pleasure. The time has gone by way too quickly. Thank you for spending some time with us. Much more we can talk about. Thank you for being with us on the program. A real pleasure. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us.
That's great. Thank you very much. Ditto, 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 ditto. I liked it.
It went very well, and we appreciate that. Barry Leonardini is our guest. The website is, that I mentioned before, freshcleanday.blogspot.com. His blog is Barry's New Conversations. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And that's the program you're listening to, and we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.